My name is Jerry Furso, and my wife and I were originally from the suburbs of Chicago, and we moved out here 24 years ago, and I tell you what, it's been an amazing journey for us, and it's a great privilege and joy to be able to serve the Lord here. And we've raised our family here, and we're empty nesters now, and we're even grandparents. I know that's hard for you to believe because I look too young to be a grandparent, right? Come on.
Amen.
A lie, at least. Okay, make me feel good. It's a great joy. And I'm sure the different speakers are going to tell you this. If they haven't, I'll tell you right now. We're not experts in the areas of ministry. We've learned some things, how not to do it. And so we've transitioned that to different ways to do ministry. But we pray that maybe some of the things that we'll share with you even today in this minute, in this setting will be a help and encouragement to you regarding the bus ministry. And I thank the Lord for the bus ministry. It was the first ministry I was ever involved in as a teenager. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was saved as a teenager. You would kind of call me a bus kid in a sense. But I'm thankful for this ministry and how it reaches out to people that otherwise would not come to church, and just love those, and I believe that it's certainly a ministry that Christ is, I'm sure, is pleased with. And so we want to help you and give you some thoughts regarding reaching the next generation through the bus ministry. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I have this right here. Yeah. Be ready to pass those out. Not yet. Okay. Philippians chapter number 2. And I think there's not another session after this one, is there? No. Okay. So we can go as long as we want.
Praise God.
Yeah. Got some liars right up here. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. Where the Bible says that they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And boy, may I say this, make sure your light is shining. And it's important because Satan certainly wants to kind of blow it out. But let's make sure that our lights are shining. Look at verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to talk about the bus ministry. And Lord, for these leaders and workers and assistant pastors and those that have a love and a desire to reach those that a lot of people have forgotten. And Lord, thank you for not forgetting us. Thank you for using people in our lives to reach out to us. And Lord, may we do the same. And Lord, we ask your blessings now and upon this conference. And may you work in our hearts. And may we be different once we leave. When the last amen is said, I pray that we have been drawn closer to you. And may we have a greater passion and desire and devotion to make our lives count. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And may I say this before we get in our lesson, that your pastors, your home pastor, they need men and ladies to come alongside them and kind of embrace the vision, the mission that God's placed upon their heart. And I pray you'll never get tired of that. I pray that you would be that Aaron, that Hur, to lift up Moses' arms, and I pray that you'd be that one that really encourages and come alongside and endeavors to try to fulfill and share that vision that your pastor has, and never lose heart in that area, and that's what God has called me to do, and to come alongside of Pastor Chapel and try to be that. I'm sure there's been times I failed. But it's certainly my desire of my heart is to be a help and encouragement to him, and And just as much as Pastor Chapel needs that, your pastor needs that.
Amen.
And so be that spark plug. Be that one that just kind of wants to lift his arms up and give him that cold glass of water to refresh him and say that encouraging word to him. But let's talk about the bus ministry, okay? Let's look first of all at number one, the purpose of the bus ministry. The purpose of the bus ministry, okay? And we're just going to use this little acrostic for SHINE, and it kind of gives us some different angles of looking at the reason for the bus ministry. First of all, letter S there, of course, is sharing Christ's message. And what an opportunity that we have at each and every week through the bus ministry to share the message of Christ. And, you know, on that bus, it's just a moving classroom, I believe, and that we have an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ and to share different stories in the Bible and teach life lessons and principles to children. And let's make sure that we're doing that. Letter H there for SHINE is helping and reaching families. Helping and reaching families. And we're going to talk about at the end a pretty creative way that we did this year for the very first time and how it was, can I say it this way? Totally successful, all right? And in a way that God just blessed it beyond our comprehension. And we're going to talk about that because it was an amazing sight what took place when we had, we called it the hunt on Easter Sunday. And it was really that Saturday and what we did and how many families that we were able to reach through that. And I think it's something that you may not be able to do it to the scale that we did it, but it's something that you could do at your home church. And it's just a creative way to reach families. And we're going to talk about that, helping and reaching families. And letter I there for SHINE is impacting lives purposefully. And if we want to impact their lives on purpose. And that, of course, that takes place in a classroom. Of course, it takes place on the buses. It takes place in these homes that we visit and spend time with these children. Letter N there, navigating through the different obstacles. And boy, there's a lot of different obstacles in the bus ministry. I mean, just recently, just vehicles here in the state of California are some big obstacles. But thank God that we were able to kind of navigate through some of that. But there are some, and there's some great liabilities. And boy, it's important that you have some very good policy set up for your bus ministry in protecting the ministry of the church and the testimony of Christ for your workers and in general just how you operate your bus ministry. And if you're interested in something like that, I think Pastor's book on Order in the Church has some of those very practical, helpful policies that we have for our bus workers. If you would like some, I could send that to you electronically. If you give Brother Don your name and then your email address, we could take care of that way also. But so some of the policies that we have that are very, very important. And then enlisting committed workers. How many could use some more workers in your bus ministry? Probably all of us raise our hands, okay? But it's important that we enlist, and a key word there is committed. One thing about the bus ministry is not the easiest ministry to get involved in. I call it the Green Beret of Christianity. And so it's not like, you know, and I love music, okay, but it's not like singing in the choir, all right? And it's not even like working in the nursery, and I know that's an important job, and that's not real easy. But if you were in the bus ministry in our church, think about getting on the bus when it's 115 degrees out, and we don't have AC on the buses. Okay, and I know for some of you in the Midwest, when it's 20 below zero, jumping on the bus, and I know both extremes, and so there is a level of commitment there. But boy, you think about sharing the gospel and helping and reaching families and imparting lives, impacting lives purposefully, and just an encouraging workers. I mean, that's a great purpose that we have for the bus ministry. Next is the passion. Let's look at the passion. And one thing about the bus ministry, you've got to be excited about it. You can't just say, "Okay, I'm going to go out and kind of round up some kids." Guess what? You're not going to have any kids come on your bus. All right, you're going to have to really have some excitement, and just having that passion, like, man, I get to do this, I want to do this, and I have to do this. In the sense of, if I don't do it, how are these kids going to hear about the gospel? And so there needs to have that sense of passion. And let's think about that. Number one is this, is having fervent signups. And listen, the only way you're going to get people signed up to come on your bus is you just need to get out there where the people are at. And just being fervent about it and just being excited about that. A couple of thoughts. Number one, be consistent in your door knocking. Be consistent. In other words, keep on going out. Look for signs of kids. That's what I always say. What do you mean signs of kids? Broken windows, fingerprints, bicycles, you know, diamonds that are kind of cut out in their front yard, okay? Basketball, gym sets in the backyard. Just look for signs of kids. And then go to those homes and talk about what opportunities that you have, the church has for their family and for their children. It amazes me that still, even in our society, that parents still allow their kids to come on buses. And it still amazes me. But you want to know something? I believe it's just something that parents realize, okay? Parents realize that they need help. You know, some of us say, man, take my kids, you know? And can you have them all week? No. You know, we'll take them for a couple hours. But be consistent in your door knocking. And then listen, not only be consistent, but then collect those prospects weekly. In other words, as you go out, make a decision in your heart that, you know, every week I'm going to have some new kids on my route. I'm going to sign up at least some new kids and just go out there looking for those new opportunities to get those kids signed up. So you want to have fervent sign-ups. Number two, look for fruitful sites. Fruitful sites. Survey potential bus areas. And listen, it's not always, you know, the poor side of town. Listen, we have bus routes in the very nicest parts of our town. And because we realize, listen, there's kids everywhere. And so just look for where there's a little bit easier, you know, to get to those homes. And I know some of you might be in rural areas where it's a lot harder. The homes are like, you know, three footballs apart, football fields apart. And so it might be a little bit more difficult. But kind of just survey your area and look for areas that you could run buses to. Look for conditions of the home, like I said, for children, you know, broken windows, toys. And I think in one area is that you can really tap into is the kids that already come on your bus, they have friends. And boy, you could just kind of use them as your finders to help you to lead you to where the other fish are at, if you allow me to say it that way. But the kids that come on your bus, they know kids. And create sections in your community that you have that it's okay, we're going to go to this area, we're going to tackle this area on each of the routes and say, you know, we're going to really look at this area and really saturate it and get kids to come on the buses. So you want to have fervent signups. You want to have fruitful sites. Number three there, focus soul winning. Be focused in your soul winning. As you think about that, as you're going through and talking to people and enlisting kids to come on the bus, be positive. Be positive about what you're doing. You know, I was telling the session before this one was, you know, we have the greatest message in all the world. Amen. We have the greatest message. And it's, listen, the stakes are huge. Now think about it. We're talking about heaven and hell. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And we have the opportunity to share this. And boy, we need to be positive. We need to be excited about the opportunity having these children to come and to be, you know, to experience what takes place here on a weekly basis and to be really introduced to the gospel, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you want to be excited about what you're doing and you want to be personal. You want to have that personal touch and talk to that mom and dad and say, you know, we would love to have your kids to come and to experience what's taking place at, you know, Lancaster Baptist Church or whatever church you're at and, you know, to be a part of what's going on through our bus ministry and talk about this ministry is to the community. And it's something that we have for the community of Lancaster or Palmdale. And you want to be personal in that sense and be perceptive. In other words, look, keep your eyes open when you're traveling through and making your visits and decide that and have a heart that God, you're desiring for God to use you. Of course, I'm not a bus captain anymore, and I did start a bus route a couple years ago. But I don't even ride buses anymore. Not that I think I'm above it. It's just my schedule. I just can't with the other responsibilities I have, but I do oversee it. But I tell you what, I love it. I really do. It's a part of me, and I think it's a great ministry to reach children and to introduce them to Christ. And so, man, just be passionate, be excited about what you're doing. And listen, you can't reach bus kids the same way you reach adults.
Right.
You know, if I go out soul winning and trying to, you know, okay, my focus is, okay, I'm going to try to reach families and invite them to church and have them drive in. You know, I'm going to be a little bit different when I go to the door. Now, if I'm a bus calling, maybe for BBS or trying to help one of our, maybe a bus route that needs a little bit of encouragement, and I'm going to dress differently even. I'm not going to wear a suit. I'm not going to even have a tie. I'm going to have a polo shirt, and I'm going to be a little bit more bombastic in how I talk and be a little bit more excited. And because why? I'm gearing towards, you know, the children, not the parents. And I'll even say, man, mom and dad, we'd love for your kids to come. And I tell you what, Junior, love what takes place on this bus. We teach obedience. Obeying your mom and dad. Now, wouldn't you like your son to always obey you, mom? And having a good attitude and saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, man, no, man. And just kind of go through it. And, you know, after a few minutes, that parent says, yes, sign them up. Sign my husband up. And so, you know, you just be excited about it. And you realize, listen, it's not fake. It's not something. Listen, we have the message. All we have to do is get them there. And so we need to communicate that. One of the keys to have a successful bus route on Sunday is your visitation on Saturday. It's so important. I mean, as a layperson, when I was a layperson at my home church back in Chicago, I was a bus captain. When I visited and did the door knocking and it was only 2 hours, guess what? I had a two-hour bus route. In other words, when I had it, I probably had maybe 25 on my bus. But when I was able to go out for 3 hours or 4 hours, I was able to have 50 and 60 on my bus. Listen, what it takes is just work.
Right.
You know, people say, well, wow, how's Lancaster? How do you guys do that here? Well, we got a secret potion. All right? You want to know the secret? Here it is. Okay? All right? Ready? Here it is. Write these two words down. Number one, prayer. Number two, work. Prayer and work. When you combine those two, guess what? God blesses. That's what it takes. It takes prayer. Lord, we can't do it, but you can. Lord, you got to touch the heart. You got to work in these hearts of these parents to allow them to, you know, you ought to see the form that our parents have to sign to allow their kids to get on the bus. I don't know if I would even sign that, allow my kids to get on the bus. I mean, but we have them sign it. It's amazing. And people sign it. Maybe they don't read it. We make the print real, real small. And, but, you know, parents' signature real big and just have them sign it. But we have to pray. Lord, you have to work in hearts to allow these kids come on. But then God says, okay, all right, but you have to work. I heard someone say this. We need to work if it all depended upon us. And pray if it all depended upon God.
Yeah.
And you marry those two together, and guess what? You can see some great things take place. Let's plan, though. How can we plan to have the most effective day on Sunday? What can we do? All right, a couple questions, okay, that I ask. Who needs a visit? Okay? How many of you run a bus route? Okay? All right? You're a bus captain? Okay. Now think about it. You had some people that were absent Sunday. Now, most likely, those kids need to be visited. All right, because listen, kids, amazing on the bus ministry. If you miss visiting somebody that's been asking for 2 weeks, most likely you're not going to see them for a long time. And it's just totally different than an entire family. But you need to ask yourself, who needs to be visited? And then I asked this question: who's growing? Which kids on my route are really growing spiritually? So I want to invest in both of those groups. All right, so I want to break up my Saturday into four quadrants. Okay? And so, we don't have a dry eraser, do we? No? Okay. But here we break it up into four quadrants. I'm not sure if this is in your notes. But first of all, you want to visit your role.
Yep.
Okay, is that in there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you have some blanks underneath there? Okay, visit your role for what reason? Number one, to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to encourage. And you want to pray with them. So you want to commit that, hey, John, and I would always go in apologizing. Hey, Mom, I can't stay long because I want to visit my whole role. So, you know, if I have, thank you, Brother Don, if I have, you know, 75 kids on my role, I want to be able to visit all those kids every week. So I can't spend, you know, 30 minutes at every door. All right, so I got to go in there and apologize. Hey, little Johnny, let's see, what's your name, Jesse? Jesse, I can't stay long. But, man, it's so good to see you, man. We're so glad you're here. Good to see you, man. And now listen, Jesse, are you going to be on the bus tomorrow? Are you going to be there? Listen, you know, you won't believe what we're going to do tomorrow. I can't tell you. But I tell you what, I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Hey, Jesse, why don't we have a word of prayer right now? Okay, let's pray. Close your eyes, Jesse. You know, you just go in there for just a couple of seconds. Now, Jesse, I'll see you. Hey, Mom, thanks for letting Jesse, you know, your son, I tell you what, you'd be so pleased of him. He's doing so good. I am so proud of him. You're doing a good job, Mom. Hey, Jesse, I'll see you tomorrow at 7:45, okay, buddy? All right, you take care. I love you. And you what? Amen. Boom. I committed him, spent a couple minutes there, and really, probably a minute and a half. You go in, apologize, you can't stay long. Hey, Jesse, good to see you. And you commit, you encourage, and you pray. But you ought to do that to everybody on your roll. Mm-hmm. Now listen, as your bus route grows, then you have to get some other people to help you. Okay? But just make those. You want to visit those people on your roll. Number two, you want to look for new riders. All right? And that's where the soul winning comes apart, where you visit an area, you look for signs of kids, and you enroll new riders every week. Listen, if you're just maintaining, listen, what's going to happen? Your route's going to die. Because you cannot maintain a bus route. People move. Yeah. All right? Constantly. And so you got to keep on building. You got to keep on adding people every week. So you want to visit your role. You want new riders. Number three, their impact time. And this impact time is basically you want to look for maybe that one teenager, that one junior hire, and maybe assign a bus kid to each one of your workers that are going out that Saturday. Say, listen, I want you to spend maybe 20 minutes with this kid. Maybe take them out for a hamburger or take them out for a Coke or tell one of your female workers to take this girl out and just have that impact time. And don't underestimate that power of having that one-on-one time with that bus kid. You've all heard this. You know, you can impress people, you know, from a distance, okay, but you can only impact people close up. And honestly, you can only impact people, really, the more... If it's one-on-one, boy, that's a pretty powerful component there, just investing into that life individually. Take time. Have a Coke together. Share a spiritual truth with them. In other words, what you're doing is you're discipling that child. Now, you're not going to go through the book, continue, okay? But what you could do is maybe take a verse, children obey your parents. Or, you know, you might talk about friends. You might talk about, you know, maybe music or something where you're going to help them to really develop some biblical principles that will govern their life. But you can only really do that one-on-one. And then number four is this, is you want to revisit. You want to revisit anybody that was on your roll that wasn't home and drop by again. And so you kind of break up. Let's just say you go out for 4 hours, okay, because it's easy math here. All right? Each segment gets an hour. So you look at it and say, okay, I'm going to spend an hour visiting my role. I'm going to spend an hour looking for new riders. I'm going to spend an hour of impact time. And then I'm going to spend an hour of revisiting. And so you look at it, you kind of just break it up. Now, if you go out for 3 hours, you kind of break it up that way. But you plan your visitation on Saturday so that you could really have a great day on Sunday. And I believe this. We need to bring the best out of our riders. Now, how can we do that? Another crossing for best. How can you bring the best out of them? Number one is this, believe in them, encourage them, share with them, and trust them. Do you realize that these kids, they need someone that will believe in them? Just saying like, hey, you can do this. Hey, you can live for the Lord. You know, like I said earlier, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I remember one of our youth workers challenging us kids that went to a public school about, you know, letting your light so shine and in your high school. And I remember, I mean, good night, the high school I went to, there was 5,000 students in that school, and I thought I was the only Christian in the whole school. And I remember finally when I had enough nerve to bring my Bible to school. And I remember that. And I wish I could say I kind of held my Bible out and let everybody know. Honestly, the first time I bought my Bible, I put it underneath all my other books. And I brought it to school and I left it in the locker room. I left it in my locker. And then after class, after school, I went out and I got it back and I kind of hid it and brought it to my car and drove home. And then the next day I brought it and I put it on top. I thought, wow, I'm really stepping out in deep water. And I still left it in my locker, but I had it there. Then I remember the third day, I brought it to class. And I remember sitting in class, it was business law. And I had my Bible right there, and someone said, "Hey, what is that?" And I said, "Well, I said, that's my Bible." And I said, are you a Christian? And I said, "I am." And there's about four or five teenagers around, and they started all laughing. And I'll be honest with you, as a teen, I was very quiet, very timid, pretty much really to myself. I know right now you think, no way. I really was. And in a sense, I still am. And I remember this girl. I didn't know she was a Christian. But I remember she turned around and said, "Hey, leave him alone. I'm a Christian too." And honestly, I didn't realize she was a Christian, and I never kind of let my light shine at that point in my life, in the sense in the Christian school or in the public school. But I remember then just not being ashamed of this book. But you know what? It started with a youth worker challenging me and said, "Listen, you can do it. You can do it." And you want to know something? There's other Jerry Fursos sitting in your buses. They come week after week, and all they need is someone to believe in them. I did not have the encouragement of my dad. My dad thought I was kooky for going to church. But I did have some people at the church that believed in me, and they encouraged me, and they shared with me. And you want to know something? There's kids that come on your buses. They need the same. Number three, let's look at this. The program that reaches families. All right? And we're going to talk about this. Brother Don, can you pass these out now? Now, I'm not sure. I think we should have enough for everybody. Okay? I'm just going to share something with you that we did this past year. Pastor challenged us. He said, "Hey, Liz, guys, and listen, we don't, Brother Gary's grew up here, right? Now, you stand up for a minute. I want you to answer this question. Do we make much of numbers to our church family here? We do not talk numbers to our church family. But this year we did for this one day. You can be seated. Thank you. And Pastor kind of, during Vision Night, that's the first Sunday of the year, and Pastor kind of shares his heart, unveils the new theme, "I Will Build." And he said, wouldn't it be, and this is how he kind of said it. He said, "Wouldn't it be kind of cool if on one Sunday we had 10,000 people?" And he just, that's all he kind of said. He kind of just planted that seed out there. Now, internally, the pastoral staff, pastor challenged us, said, "Okay, let's try to have 10,000. And it was just something we wanted to work for. And so we kind of looked at, we kind of said, okay, if the drive-in had this, and if the Spanish did this, and our chapels had this. And then he came and he said, "Brother Ferguson, what did we have last year at Easter?" I'm not sure about you, but Easter is not really one of our big bus days. I think we had last year, the year before, I think we had 423. Okay? And he said, "Well, what's the biggest bus attendance we ever had?" And I said, "Well, Pat, I think we had about 2,000 one year." And he said, "Do you think you beat that?" And I said, "How about if we shoot for 2,500? And I'm thinking, year before we had 430 to 2,500. And I'm thinking, and he said, "Okay, that's a good go." And then the more I thought about it, I said, "Man." And I started looking at these other numbers, okay, just kind of looking. I said, "I don't know if we're going to reach 10,000 if we had 2,500. And so I set a personal goal that we'd have 3,000. And then I'm thinking, okay, how many buses would we need? I mean, you think about it. I mean, not even 30. Because you can only put 50 on a bus right in that neighborhood, you know, legally. All right? We don't live in the Philippines, okay? All right? You have a little jeepney and put 100 people on there, okay? And people hanging around, and which is another story that is incredible. But I think about this, and man, I don't even know if we could do it with all buses, and even if we double used our buses. And then I thought this. Why don't we locate 12 different parks throughout our valley? And then we'll visit those areas around those parks and have the people walk to the parks and bring their kids that way. And so the more I thought about that and started putting some principles and thoughts regarding that, we came up with what I placed into your hands. Okay, so let me kind of give you the, real quickly, just the points in your outline there. Number one, a creative way to triple your bus attendance. Okay, if you have one bus route, all right, I believe you could do it. You could triple your bus route. Attracting families to attend a community event. All right, that's how we kind of called it. And cultivating your community for future invites. Okay, now, I'm not sure what else. Let's see. Okay, let's just look at this part. So we called it the hunt, and basically what we had, we looked at we had 12 different parks throughout our valley. Every park had a park leader, okay? We call it the bus captain, okay? So we had a park leader. The park leader basically oversaw everything that took place at that park, okay? So they had an outreach leader. Basically, that person would organize the maps and the people going out and getting sign-ups and having people committed to come to that park. Okay, so the outreach leader. Then you have a security leader. Now think about this. You're in a public setting. Okay, so you want safety. So we had a team. Now we were able to do this. Every park, we had an officer at that park. Now they were off-duty officers, but they were all sworn in deputies. Okay, so they were, you know, they were, you know, sheriff department, LAPD, and they were law enforcement, and so we had a presence there, but we had security. So we had just basically non law enforcement, just people say, hey, I could help, I could, you know, provide some security, and you're just kind of keeping your eyes open, just seeing who's coming and who's leaving. Okay. Number four, facilities leaders. These oversee the logistics of setup, operation, teardown of the park, and managing the bounce houses and the refreshment section. Okay, so every park had a person that basically oversaw the facilities. And we made sure that at each park, we'll get to that, but hopefully. Then we have a rally leader. This is the one that did the preaching. Okay. We had a games leader, and we had a section in the park that they ran games. Then we had a counseling leader. These are the ones that dealt with the people that were making decisions. And then we had a secretarial leader that every person that came to the hunt, that's what we called it, got registered. Okay, does that make sense? And so we had these different team leaders. Now, of course, all right, With the park leader, basically, he was the man, okay, that oversaw that park. The outreach leader, all these people were committed, and they went out trying to get people to commit to come to the park for that outreach event. The security team, there's multiple people there. Maybe each park had four or five guys. Facilities leaders, they probably had maybe 10 people to help set up. The rally leader basically was one guy with some workers. The games leader, of course, there's a guy that basically organized the games, but they had people helping them. So you think about this, okay? So you think about all your classes and, for your bus classes, you might have maybe 20 people helping you out in the bus ministry for maybe a few routes, all right? Now you could do this, all right, where you have just a special day conduct this. Then you have the counseling leaders and secretarial team leaders. Everybody comes in. Okay, now, as you look at the hunt, we kind of broke this up into a three-segment type of, like a round robin, I guess you kind of would call it. First of all, there was a rally time, there was a game time, and there was a refreshment time, okay? And so basically what they did, we rotated the groups, and we kind of broke them up into age groups. We went like from, I think it was second grade down to 3 years old, okay? That was one group. Then we had third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth was another group. And then we had seventh and eighth graders. We kind of cut it off at seventh and eighth grade because we really didn't want high schoolers there. Okay, now some came, and we kind of let them know, okay, we'll let you in if you behave, but mostly it's for children. So basically, this is how we ran this. And we even give you just a little schedule here and how we kind of broke it up and how we did this. And I tell you, one of the coolest things was this. As I drove around on this Saturday morning, seeing families walking to these parks, it was the coolest thing. You saw these moms pushing these strollers, and they had, you know, three or four kids with them, and dad was with them, and there was other families following them, and they were all coming to these different parks. And it was done such an orderly fashion. Every park, I think the most number park in the sense of the kids that attended, I think that our smallest one was 197. Our highest one was over 500. Wow. And on this one day, I think it was right at 3,500. 3,500 kids and parents came to this day. And it was just unbelievable. I know that's a big number, okay? But everybody got registered because before they could enter into the park, and now we reserved the parks and some very unique things took place because we had no idea how this was all going to really unfold. And so as I was sitting in Palmdale City Hall talking to the park and recs guy, the guy goes, how many do you think are going to come to the park? And honestly, we really didn't know. So I always knew this, always go low. And so I said, I don't know. We're going to have, I said our college kids are going to be doing this and they're going to be helping out. It's kind of more or less they're like in training and trying to downplay it. And I said, maybe 35, maybe 50 kids will show up. And his main thing wasn't how many kids. He says, now, will you be selling anything? Because I think there's some liabilities there with food and things like that. Are you selling food? And I said, no. I said we might have some cotton candy or some popcorn, but it's all free. It's just the stuff we're going to give to the kids. Oh, he says, no problem. He says, I'm not even going to charge you. And now, Lancaster, I need to talk to Rex because Lancaster charged us for each park. but Palmdale gave it to us free. But he let us do it for free. But I tell you what, I didn't know this, but he drove around on Saturday, and he visited the parks, and he called on Monday, and he said, "Well, I was amazed." He said, "You guys did a lot better than 40 and 50 kids." He says, "But you guys were organized." He said, "You guys want to do this again?" He said, "This really was something a positive for our community." And so it was, and I thanked him. I wrote him a note. And I sent him a gift card to a restaurant, I think Olive Garden, and just thanked him for allowing us to do that. And it was something that I saw something like this take place when I was on a mission trip to the Philippines. I visited Mitt Rick Martin's church, and how I had these little Bible clubs everywhere. And I said, well, why don't we try that here? And so we put some strategy together, some ideas together, and it was, it was very labor intensive. It wasn't, easy. There was a lot of thought and prayer and a lot of meetings and training to take place for this to really to be fruitful and productive and successful. You want to use that word, but we had. Each park had Easter eggs, and kind of that's why we called it the hunt. And we put out Easter eggs, and You know, this year we're going to do it again, but in the fall we're going to do pumpkins. And because we normally have a pumpkin patch here for the kids, for the bus ministry, and they get a free pumpkin. So we're going to just do it in these 12 parks. And so we're going to do it twice a year now because we thought it was such a, such a success. Now here's some worker policies. There's some things there that we put together. And just all it is some ideas. And you may take this and just something will spring to your, come to your mind. You know, a lot of times when I go to a conference, if I get one good idea, I think, boy, it was worth going. And so this is something we never did before. This first time was this last year or this year. And it was a great success. And God blessed it. And so I just kind of wanted to share that with you because I thought, hey, there may be some that would want to do something like this in your community. But I tell you, the coolest thing was this. We've reached 5 families that are faithfully coming to church through this outreach. And because they, they said, we'll come to church there. And they're so, and also, listen, this cultivates the community. So when you come back and knock on doors, they said, is this the church that did the hunt for the kids? And yeah, that's all. Man, our kids love that. That was such a, great thing that you guys did for the community. And it's just a good, positive investment into the community. So hopefully that'd be a help. Okay, let's see. Time's up. You got eight minutes to ask questions. No questions, you can leave. All right. Any questions? Yes, sir. It starts, number one, with the pastor casting the vision. And it started with him, with pastor saying, you know what, we're going to do something at Easter that we've never done before. And he basically kind of just said, pastor didn't fully understand this, okay, when I first explained it to him and kind of, but he said, okay, if you think you can, reach that goal. And, but the more he started hearing about it and the church was feeling it, people got involved in it. It's like love works, okay? Listen, if you promote it, if it's organized well, people will want to be a part of it. Okay, when things are not promoted and when things are not organized, people won't get involved in it. And so and we took weeks to get the, days like this prepared so that when we start the promotion of it, of getting workers signed up, they see it. There's a sense of a vision that's been cast to them. And guess what? Listen, people want to serve the Lord. They just don't know how to get involved. A lot of people just don't know how to get involved. And when they have opportunities like this, and what it is, it's like it's not a long-term commitment, okay? But listen, they step into the water, and they taste just the thrill of serving and making an impact in people's lives. Then they come back and say, what else can I do? Okay? This was done on a Saturday. So we moved, I'm sorry, we did have three routes that did it on Sunday. Sunday scared me because I know how many people go visit for Easter here in our community. So basically, we left three of our Sunday morning routes to do it here on our property. And but all the other routes, and basically we assigned them to parks. Yeah. All right. We had cards, and what it said was the hunt. All right. And we just talked about a community outreach. I'm sorry. We called it a community event. That's what we called it. And basically, we talked about games, Easter egg hunt, and a Bible message, refreshments. And we had the time and the park. So every card, so we had 12 different parks, so we had 12 different cards. Because every card had the name of the park that was that we were going to that area to encourage the kids to go to. Okay? All right? Yes. Yes, sir. And it was amazing. We brought chairs. We tried to tell them find an area where it's shady. And the Lord gave us a perfect day weather-wise. And that's a big thing here. Because, listen, the wind could throw the day out. I mean, those Easter eggs could have been blown all over the place. And so we prayed and asked God for nice weather and no wind. All right? Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. If you can get that information to Brother Don about that.
Do you have a list of your promotions?
No. Because, you know, we don't have a set fall and spring campaign. We try to reinvent one every year. Just make it different so it's, we don't get into the same habits for our bus ministry. And now we're going to do the hunt again next year, and we're going to do the hunt, but it's, we're going to call it, you know, a pumpkin patch, or we're going to call it something. No. We do have in the summertime. We normally give because it's so hot here. We always give the kids like a what they call them, freeze pops, and frozen Kool-Aid, basically. And those, so every week we give those out to our bus kids. Okay. Yes, sir.
Was the promotion done to the community 3 months in advance? And when it was done, how often did you do it? Like 3 times prior to the event?
Okay. For the hunt, what we did, we started to the community was 2 weeks before. The preparation, though, so Easter was April 5th. So this was on April 4th, that Saturday. So we started the preparation of it in December. And then we pre-assigned, what I wanted to do before Christmas was to get all these folks, all these people picked before Christmas. And so we had 12 different parks, so we had 12 teams like this. So we had 12 park leaders, and we had 12 secretaries, you know, type of thing, that were leaders. And what I did was this. For the park leaders, I had them into my home 4 times. And basically, I just equipped them. And I cast a vision to them, what it's about, and kind of challenged them, hey, do you want to be a part of it? One time I did it real early in the morning. I had them all over for breakfast. And my wife thought I was crazy, but we got up super early and we made them pancakes and we had them over in our home. And they brought their secretary and their outreach leader, because I thought those were the two key components, not only the park leader, but then the secretarial and then the outreach guy. So they came over. So we had a time of fellowship and then training for them. And so, because I believe if the leaders understand and they catch the vision, then they could cast it. See, I felt that I didn't want to be the one casting the vision. I wanted each park leader to be able to cast his vision to his group. And they did a fantastic job. Because when you empower somebody, there's a sense of responsibility that they embrace. And then they say, you know what? I want to do this. I could see this really blossoming and really God doing something special. And God really blessed it. It was just an incredible day. And everybody was talking about it, right? The hunt. A lot of church people, what's the hunt? Because we didn't really promote that to the church a lot. It was basically just something we did that were those that were a part of the bus ministry, because the church had other things going on for Easter. And so the one that Pastor really promoted was this sunrise service. And we'd never done that before, and it was outside. It was in Quartz Hill. But he definitely promoted that one from the pulpit a lot, because because he never did it. We've never been a part of that, and he didn't want to be the only guy out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I think we had, I want to say we had 400 or 500 people at the sunrise service. I mean, the sun wasn't even up. I mean, we could have really pushed that back to 6:30, but we started at 6 o'clock, and if we didn't have flashlights on our phones, we would have been in trouble. It was pretty amazing. God just blessed the entire day. It was really cool. Any other questions? Hey, thank you for coming, and appreciate you being here. And email address if you wanted us to send to you our bus policies or the brochure on the hunt, we could do that and get that to Brother Don. God bless you.